It is Free For All Friday here on the Council of Trent. Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology. But Friday, unwind, relax, and just hang out with me and listen to whatever I want to talk about. And if you've made it this far, you're probably interested in the topic as well. So I want to talk about COVID-19, which is weird because it feels like it's nostalgic. I think I saw an X post somewhere online that said something like talking about something happening in 2020, and it feels like that was 30 years ago, that the entire pandemic really, it aged all of us. It aged a lot of people. I know some people, frankly, the older people who died prematurely because of all the stress of the pandemic and how it aged them. So it was just a horrible thing in general. But I want to talk about today about just one or two things I'm nostalgic for and a few bright spots that came out of it. Now, to be clear, overall, terrible and awful, you know, disaster, people died, and also an awful authoritarian response to it. That was just absurd. I remember being in San Diego and people were getting tickets for sitting in their cars watching the sunset on the ocean as if that was a threat to public health. And it really, I'll get to that later because that's something that is important for me. So it's just absurd. And now the other thing is I tried to look up COVID stats. I remember people were saying in California, they said at one point they were going to lift the lockdown when there was a 2-week period when there were no COVID deaths at all. And I remember Ben Shapiro saying, like, then it's never going to happen. And that's right. It's just never going to happen, especially if you count a COVID death as just somebody who dies and they have a positive COVID death. I mean, you have people counted for COVID deaths. They got hit by a car and they do the test on them. Oh, turns out it's a COVID death. Hospital gets money and it goes in the state tabulator. I remember going online, reading those stupid tabulators saying how many hospital beds there are and how many people are getting sick and how many people died and just waiting for the numbers to get down low enough to say, oh, now the lockdowns can end and we can go back to normal. Oh, it has to be the new normal. No, you can take your new normal and put it in a place I'd rather not discuss anymore. So I was trying to find the numbers for that, trying to show how many people are still dying of COVID. And the rates have gone down this year versus like 2023. But the lockdowns were lifted not because we hit some magical number. It's like there's still, I remember there was a point in the pandemic, I mean, there's still thousands of people that die in this country. A lot, thousands a week, maybe thousands a day. Not thousands a day, probably. But still, more than I remember in California saying it's got to be zero COVID deaths for 2 weeks. Then the pandemic's over. We can lift the lockdowns and go to stage one or something absurd like that. But there's still a ton of people die from COVID and people have learned to live with it as another respiratory disease that is out there. The lockdowns weren't lifted because we had turned the corner that the public health officials, the geniuses running the public health departments, like we have finally beaten the pandemic and we can raise everything. No, it's because Glenn Youngkin won in Virginia and promised to lift the lockdowns. And there were political victories from people who are anti-lockdown. And so suddenly now, and that was after 2022, suddenly, and then it became, oh, never mind. We can't do lockdowns anymore because if we do this, we're going to lose our seats. We're going to get voted out of office. We change our minds. So thankfully, the will of the people was still done. So that's one good thing that came out of it, that you could see the authoritarianism, it couldn't last forever, that at least the will of the people was made known in free and fair elections. And that was the catalyst that really started everything. I remember it was so interesting. It was in 2020 that COVID basically happened right around the Super Bowl. And everything was locked down, or when Disneyland was shut down. And then it was the fact that they had the Super Bowl in 2022 and people were there and they don't have masks. Never mind. It's over now. It's over again. But it was nice to see a political movement that helped to really bring to an end some of the authoritarianism. I thought it was going to persist. I thought places like New Mexico or New York were going to have masks and vaccine passports forever. But people just weren't going to. They just said, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. And That's good for me to see that at least authoritarianism can be repelled in that way. So some other things I'm nostalgic about, or at least happy about. One, I am nostalgic for the time in California when I would break the rules of my family. I don't know if other people dealt with this, any people who lived in authoritarian regimes, I don't know. I mean, I hate it in California. They locked everything down. You technically weren't even allowed to be out in your car. You weren't allowed to be outside. And the parks were closed. Everything was closed. I remember one point we were driving on Interstate 5 at 4 o'clock in the evening, 4 p.m., not 4 a.m., 4 p.m. Even at 4 a.m., there's a lot of traffic. But at 4 p.m., it should be bumper to bumper, and it was empty. There was no one there. It felt like living in the apocalypse. And it was kind of cool. It was kind of cool just to have that time with my family. And just we had to bond together because we couldn't see anybody else. So I wanted them. I didn't want them to go crazy. So what I did was I took them to college campuses. So like technically, you weren't allowed to go to parks. If you went to a park, you could be arrested or at least given a ticket. So I took them to college campuses because the college campuses were all closed. And if you, and they had big green spaces. And we brought a soccer balls and we ran around and played tag. And I was really fun. We rode bikes. And we just went and did that because nobody was there watching. The campuses, you go to the inside of the campus, it's away from the street. The police aren't going to see you. It was so weird. I was trying to find ways for my family to have fun and dodge the police. I remember I was hiking down a trail to go to the beach when the beaches were closed. And there was a helicopter patrol going by. And I had to hide in the crevasse of a bluff as the helicopter was going by so that I could avoid them so I could go and enjoy my time on the beach. That's nuts. That's like living in the Soviet Union or East Germany, North Korea. Like I'm trying to escape communism, which basically eventually I did by leaving California. So that was awful. But I do kind of miss the excitement of trying to evade the authorities and bonding together with family and just having those memories and just going places. And it's completely empty in California. It's totally empty. And it's just me and the wife and the little guys. So I miss that a little bit. What are some other things I'm happy about? Things are actually clean now. I am grateful for that. I remember before COVID, when I would fly on airplanes, I always took wet wipes with me, the antibacterial wipes. And I would sit down, I would do my armrests, I would do the tray table and the buttons because that stuff was just gross. It was gross. And I always did that because I didn't want to get sick. And it was a lot easier to get sick before COVID. So one thing is that things are a lot cleaner. Like there's hand sanitizer everywhere now. And I like that. A friend of ours introduced us to the habit of keeping Purell hand sanitizer in your car and making the kids use it every time they get in the car. And after we did that, it was like a 90% reduction in the number of colds that we got as a family. So that was a real game changer. It's not like my children, by the way, are bubble children that have never had a cold. They get sick. They have immune systems. But it's one thing to be sick every now and then, but it's bad if you're chronically sick. Families should not have a constant runny nose going on. If that's the case, there needs to be a hygiene change-up. So things are actually cleaner now when I go out to airports or I go places. There's cleaning protocols when stuff really wasn't cleaned that much. So I am appreciative of that, even though ironically, that's not what stopped COVID from spreading. It's a respiratory virus. But whatever, at least it got things to be clean. And also people have better etiquette for being sick. Because before COVID, it was like, oh, you're sick. Suck it up, baby. And suck it up, you little baby, and go to work. You're fine. And it was like, oh, he's a rogue. Even though he's sick, he's still here getting the job done. But then COVID really instilled in people, nope, if you're sick, stay home or you'll kill grandma. Now, the grandma killing stuff went overboard. But I do appreciate now that there's a social norm that if you're sick, stay away from other people. Not that it's a nice thing to do, but that it's an obligation. You need to do that or you're being rude to other people because other people don't want to get sick from you. It's okay. Not just that it's okay, but it's not okay if you put yourself in a position where you're getting other people sick. So I'm glad there's better etiquette in that regard. What's another point I wrote down here? Oh, being proven right about human nature, by the way. This really pushed me more into libertarianism. I'm not a full-blown libertarian. I don't think five-year-olds should own machine guns or whatever. I also think that, you know, the government can use taxes to build things for the public good and, you know, provide emergency rooms for people and things like that. I'm not a hardcore libertarian, but I'm more into libertarianism because I'm very skeptical of government being competent and being ethical. And COVID really showed me both incompetency and unethical authoritarian behavior, and also showed that people in general will just go right along with it. Most people will go with the program. It takes them a long time to come around and fight the power, if you will, rage against the machine, if you will. I was always thought that, and but to see it and have it actually be proven for me, that was certainly eye-opening. What else? Oh, the other thing I'm grateful for from COVID is remote connections. Before COVID, if I were to tell my boss at work, hey, instead of me coming in today, do you want to just hop onto Skype and talk about this? He would think I was being really rude. Like, what's wrong with you? Come into the office. That everybody's got to be in the office 9 to 5. You got to be together, got to be in the office. But then COVID showed, oh, wait, we can actually function separate from one another by telecommuting, by remote work. And it's fine. And actually, people are more productive when they're remote. I love seeing my coworkers in the Catholic Answers office, for example. But when you're in an office, you are much more likely to be distracted with small talk and casual conversation than when you're by yourself. I think studies have shown there's a significant advantage to remote work that people tend to be more, they tend to be more efficient. That a lot of people think they just want you in the office. Even if you're not working, it's like, well, we pay you, so you just need to be here even if you're not doing anything, which is silly. If they get the job done, they get the job done. Now, obviously, remote was really bad for students. I feel awful that a whole generation of kids fell behind because they were put on online learning. Online learning doesn't work well because kids aren't responsible. They need that interaction with a teacher. They need that. Otherwise, they're going to fall behind. That's why I'm grateful my kids were really little when COVID went down. I had a 5-year-old, 3-year-old, and a newborn. And so we were homeschooling them and then put them into a homeschool co-op. So they didn't miss anything. But I felt bad for others too. People really fell behind, thinking, oh, yeah, it's just the same. Kids will bounce back. Yeah, right. Kids will bounce back. So that was tragic. But for working in an office, being able to show, no, we can make remote work function. And it encouraged other companies to create products to make it work so that you could have Zoom, Riverside, Skype, Monday.com for planning projects together, to have all these things to be able to facilitate that. Now, I do think it's gone a little bit overboard. Like, I am kind of sick of virtual meetings for, they're doing those virtual conferences. Yeah, I don't want to do that anymore. Just, I want to actually go to a conference and see people. So I also don't like a lot of interviews on YouTube channels where it's just virtual. I understand that's easier for a lot of people, but it's still nice to have people face-to-face in a lot of contexts. But the ability to have remote work and other remote options. I'll give you another one I'm glad that came out of COVID, Teladoc. Like, not having to drive down to the doctor's office where all the sick people are, when you just need a very simple prescription and talk to a guy on the phone. And just being able to Skype with a doctor, pay a small fee, and not have to leave your home and go to a place with sick people, game-changing. Absolutely game-changing. So there are some bad things with remote connection, but overall, I'm glad it's facilitated. And also for Catholic Answers, like, we've been able to hire, like, Thomas West. He lives on the East Coast, and he edits Council of Trent episodes. And we're able to work together very well on these without having to be in person. And we'll meet up in person once every few months to collaborate and have that. But he's an excellent asset. And if we said, no, you can only work for Council of Trent if you move to San Diego, well, we can't get people to, like, that's so cost prohibitive. But to allow that remote function, it really allows you to bring in a pool of talent you otherwise wouldn't have if you required relocating to a company. And finally, the biggest thing that made me happy out of COVID is we got to move to Texas. I don't know if we ever would have moved. I might have eventually asked our president, hey, my family can't thrive here. Can we go somewhere else? But it would have been a lot harder because, you know, you didn't have remote work as much. It would have been much more difficult, but it was very easy to say, hey, this is an authoritarian nightmare. I'd like to leave. And Chris Check, our president, said, I hear you. I get it. Like, the fact that the police came to give me a ticket, they didn't give me a ticket, they gave me a warning, when I took my children to the playground when it was banned in California. I told Chris Check, the president of Catholic Answers, I'm done, I'm leaving, I'm not putting up with this anymore, that there can be riots downtown, but the police come when I take my kids to a playground. And he totally understood where I was coming from. So I am grateful, at least, that we were able to end up here. My children attend a wonderful parish school. They have... I mean, it's just so great, the culture here versus California, that I remember when we first got here, the kids were playing on a playground and somebody said, what if a boy married a boy? And the other kids were saying, that's weird. You can't do that. And I'm like, that is not the conversation kids have in California playgrounds. But I love the conversations they're having on Texas playgrounds. So that's been a blessing for sure. But yeah, hey, look, even there are bad things. Obviously, there are bad things with COVID and the pandemic and the response to it. But sometimes it's nice just to at least think about the good things that can come from the bad. So thank you guys so much, and I hope you all have a very blessed weekend.